Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I am your host, founder and CEO of Literal Humans, Paul David. And I'm joined today by Sanchit Thacker, the founder and CEO of Illumins. We're going to be talking about what 15 years of running an agency teaches you. It's a hot topic, something we're very interested in as another agency. Welcome to the pod, Sanchit.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for having me. It's ironic that we are discussing it at a time when the industry is facing lots of challenges, but I think this is the right time to discuss things which could help people. Yes. Or, you know, we might, you know, take it as a normal, nice, good, rich conversation. So I'm all yours.
Absolutely. So by way of introduction, Sanchit is based in India. Is it Mohali? Is that right?
Yeah, it's north of India, just near the Himalayas.
Nice. And Sanchit runs a creative consultancy, which works with companies who like to do things a little bit differently. And Sanchit, quick examples of like past clients that you can, you know, so just so folks can understand the work that you do.
It's 15 years of work. So lots of clients, you know, we started with something very small, you know, as the companies do, like we were making scripts for people right at the start of 2010. And then we got clients in 2011. You know how the market was in 2009 and 10. It was not that good. But in 2011, there came a time when everything changed after January 2011. And iPhone at that time and App Store at that time was getting lots of traction and people were making lots of apps. So we started making those and going into market research. And we worked with market research companies and lots of clients in logistics and all. So right now, as there is a demand, there's a buzzword of AI. So I think it's the best time that we are working in AI and with the companies. We are a small, medium enterprise. So that doesn't mean that we are actually making the AI. It's just that we are using OpenAI and other tools like DeepSeek and all and Google's Llama. So we are taking care of those and we are working towards that. And anything that we work on, clients nowadays ask about this simple question, which many agencies are being asked, that, you know, how are you going to implement AI in it? So sometimes we ask that, you know, what do you mean by AI in this? You know, do you have any idea in mind which we can implement AI, or do you think it's just a magic word that is just there and, you know, something magical would happen? So at times we consult with people and we tell them that this is the approach how to move forward. And just for example, if you make an e-commerce store, you can simply have an AI doing sales for you, build AI agents and have sales for you. So we're navigating lots of things, but yeah, logistics, AI, healthcare, e-commerce are our sectors this year. So who knows what happens after June? We are a service-based company. We get lots of different kinds of clients, at times startups who are starting to do something new, and that becomes something really big. Some of the companies that we worked with went on to become huge. You have few companies there as well. We're working with Cognizant. You might know them. They are in UK, and that's a sales tool. So our design team works with them, and we navigate lots of things together. So there's like lots of different companies that we work with, and it's the most enjoyable thing that we get to solve so many things. That's what we enjoy the most. Service-based companies always have that goal that they want to be always in this. Always in this atmosphere where new challenging work is coming and they are able to provide higher value to their clients. And that's all of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Being a service-based company, you feel like you're at the forefront of, you know, so much because you're learning from your clients, but you're also like implementing. And I think what you said about AI, like, feel very fortunate to work in marketing, which I feel like is one of the first industries. We talked about this on your podcast. One of the first industries to kind of get hit by the AI wave and have to like really think about how to integrate AI. So appreciate that you brought that into the conversation. Just want to continue the introduction. You're no stranger to podcasts. You know, you host the Bright Talks podcast, which you very kindly had me on. And you speak to industry leaders about all things, you know, from creative thinking strategies to the intersection of the Internet of Things and blockchain technology. We'd love to hear what were some of your favorite episodes from your podcast over the past year?
You might not have seen it, but it was Alan from UK, who is one of my favorite. He showed his case study, and I just loved it how his brain worked and how he made this really amazing thing for logistics. Whole mechanism that he was working on. I would not name the logistics company because it's under NDA for him as well, but we saw some glimpses of his case study, and that was the most fun I had because I would tell you a secret. I'm not such a good podcast host. I always tell Vrinda and my team, you are in conversation with them. I'm always like, I go deeper into conversations because I consult with companies. I tell them that, what about this? What if we do this? We can reach this. So on podcast, I have to be formal. I'm not the best person there. So even if it's casual, it's not actually informal that you actually go into deep and, ask questions. Hey, what about this? What about that? Because that wouldn't sell on podcasting. So in what Alan was showing was really, really amazing to me. And that's one of my favorite podcasts. Nonetheless, it's all of them were like really, really great. You get to meet so many different people. You get to enjoy what they're doing. One was CJ as well. Suyun came who made Google Drive user experience. And she was really, really bright in, how she discussed. And then, my last podcast was with you, and I enjoyed it the most among the others. We get to discuss how AI is disrupting the industry and how you were the one who got disrupted, how you're navigating it. That was highly enjoyable. So, yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
these are.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like sometimes the team is like, what are we doing with the podcast? And I'm like, guys, it's such a pleasure like to just talk to, smart folks like yourself and learn from them and just like take a break, a break from the work week and hear about someone else's journey and talk to other business leaders. So I agree with you. I really enjoy the variety and the perspectives it brings to my life for sure.
Well, do get anxious with that. I sometimes get anxious with taking podcasts because I feel that I have to be very formal and discuss things. While now that you're hosting me, I am all free that, I do not know the questions. Whatever come my way, I would go forward. Because
Yeah.
my team and me discuss on set of questions that these are the specialties. So just for example, it's Paul, and I would discuss over these specialties and I would come up with something and we would dive deeper into it. But right now, when you are the guest, you are free because you can navigate anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think I enjoy this thing. As I told you, I'm not that good as a host
Oh, I think
because
you're, I beg to differ. I think you're great.
casual conversations. I am
Yeah.
that guy who would go deep into trenches with you.
Yeah.
So I like those casual conversations. So on podcast, you don't know who the next person is. So, and at times, most of the podcasts which are doing great are mostly cringeworthy. So you don't get to know a lot. You don't get to like really learn it. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are going through that podcast. And I am like, these didn't provide any knowledge. The person said and many irrational things, they would never work in practicality. And somehow they are amazingly seen by people. And I'm like, how would Business Review at the same time gets 5,000 hits only while they provide really amazing case studies. So, okay, and that's how the world works.
I'm actually working on a project with some folks to try and, help to kind of reshape the podcast space, but it's tough. Like a lot, there's a lot of, folks out there who they have a lot of reach, but there's not a lot of substance there. So I totally agree with you on that. It's interesting to see how the space will change. Want to get into some of our questions here and learn about more of the work that you do. So, I feel this like there's a lot of agencies out there, a lot of creative consultancies out there. Would love to hear what are the two to three things that really makes Illumin stand apart? What makes Illumin different?
Yeah, it's tough to answer that because to say that Illumins is different than others is like, how do I know? I don't go deep into others' teams and say that, I have a say in their team. So I don't know how other companies work. I just know what other companies are producing. So most of the times, not many people understand is that work is a process that you take. It's diving deep into things with your clients, with your team, and doing 100 things at one time and connecting all those dots. And you might face challenge while putting up a payment gateway, or if it's logistics, a truck is going on and it might lose connection, and you might want to figure out why is it losing connection, or if it's some fraud that's happening in logistics, you might have to catch that fraud, and you have to work over those things. So it's very tough to say that how we are different. I don't know. I am always. I can only tell you one thing, that I am very obsessed with the projects that I take. So there are many projects that are happening in Illumins, but there are a few that I take. They come, they look very interesting, and I go very deep into those. That this is how the mindset of people who are going to use it works. So I'm very obsessed, not with my clients. I'm very obsessed with their customers and clients. So I want to know what's happening there, and I want to go really, really deep into it, and want to tell them that, hey, you were thinking that this would work like this, but no, the person is totally different. And I'll give you a few examples. One of them, we were making a smart parking system. So the client gave us the wireframes and all, and said that, oh, go on and make this. So onboarding process for a user in that application was consisting of 8 mobile screens for iPhone. And once our developer was making it, we found out that there's no human who would want to fill 8 pages and then get to a smart parking application. Even the people who are going to use it are going to use it on daily basis. They're going to try it daily. But it was such a hassle. We converted it to one page only. So we kept on talking to client. We kept on persuading him that, hey, this is not going to work, and this is our way to work. If you only get only this much information, your customers are going to use your smart parking systems are going to come up, and they are going to use smart parking system and that automatic IoT-based barricades. And this is how it's going to work. You take the other information later on, but let people get onboarded and start using the system. So there are many things like this, Paul. I cannot articulate on something particular. For that, you have to come here and sit with me for a few days and see how we work, how different we are. I don't think many agencies can tell, or many companies can tell, how different they are. If they are saying that, they're just marketing themselves. And you know best about marketing.
Yeah,
So
I know. I know a few things about that.
I think that's the most important thing, is that we are very obsessed with the people who are going to use our platform. So
Yeah.
I can simply say that. Not to say that many companies do not do that. I am very sure that there would be few companies who are obsessed like that.
Yeah. It's, I think being customer obsessed is like a very, I think we've all learned a big lesson from like companies like Amazon and that, pursuit of like just sort of being hyper customer focused, but also like one thing I've learned is, you can't be so customer focused to the ex that you burn out your team or to at the expense of your team, and you have to really like balance, client demands and sometimes like push back, at least in the agency world, I think like, hey, this timeline's a little bit punchy, or we can't fit everything into this retainer, or just different ways of, I think, negotiating. I've learned a lot about The Art of Client Service, which is also a great book. I imagine you have too. Which sort of leads me to my next question of like, what inspired you to found Illumins way back in 2009? And tell us a little bit more about that journey.
Yeah, before that, I would want to talk about the point that you mentioned about burnout and all. So in real world, in logical world, burnout does happen at times, because client is running a business, so they might have millions of dollars of business, and something would come up that they would need ASAP because they are having some problem somewhere. So we are in programming world, so we have to completely obsessed by it and completely go into it, and we have to work so hard and have to come up with it. So burnout does happen. At the same time, I feel it's better to burn out than being bored. That's very apt example that I can give. So once you've solved that challenge, you get burned out, you can regain your consciousness again, you can regain your energy later on. You can come out of that focus zone, get yourself distracted, and enjoy on weekends, or maybe other days you take a few days off. But I think I'm one of those people who enjoy that thing, but not most of the times. At times, I do enjoy that. It's not on regular basis that I want to be burned out, but I on regular basis I like to be challenged. So I enjoy that.
What I've learned about the burnout piece is sort of as a leader, like, you sort of control the temperature of your business. You know what I mean? So like the new business that you bring in, the pace of projects and things like that. And there's different levers you can pull. So always trying to, pull the right levers at the right time and keep people moving at pace, but like a sustainable one and adding resources. Sometimes it's a freelancer, sometimes it's, a little bit more time. There's lots of different things you can do to kind of keep the work sustainable and being able to pull all those different levers is what I've seen.
Yeah, it's different for development companies because at times, if you have to find a freelancer who'll work with your team is not that good, has some problems, or at times freelancers can go away. They'll be working. They'll say that okay, I have this problem at all. The commitment level is not there at times. So in our world, in development world, it is like huge commitment world where programmers are sitting together, or maybe they are away and they are putting in lots of efforts. There would be things that would be crashing, the apps would be crashing, and they have to know that whose code it was, what the problem was. This is the general day-to-day in programming world. So I think those things do happen, and they are highly logical. They have always been happening, and they will always happen. We can think of the world where there would be nothing like that. I do not at times control the tempo, as you mentioned. It's at times the clients who control it because they are stuck somewhere and they need something and they need it fast. So at times there is a lot of work that's going on, but at times there is lots of there's lots of time that people have that okay, they can work on their own pace. It really depends from times to time.
That's good to hear. And I very much agree with that, principle you said of like, just do good work and like have that speak for you, just build good case studies. And that's what attracts their clients to you and new business. It's arguably your best like calling card, your best selling, proposition is, hey, we've done this before. We can do it again. We can do it better. We've seen that in our sales process, just like rolling out really specific, clear case studies that demonstrate the power of your work. I think is the best way. Other than so many companies are just doing outbound, 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 selling, selling, selling. They're not actually saying, hey, we've done this before. We can do it again. So really appreciate that point.
Having hearts out, having real heart out, have that purity out and that heart out towards making substantial value, and then you'll see how the world changes around you. That's the most important thing. You have to have a complete heart in, and you have to have that really great value.
Yeah.
Those are the most important virtues that you need to have forever, because otherwise, as we were talking, these are some challenging times for the IT industry. And most of the simple people or sane people who would think otherwise, who do not have heart in, would simply leave. They wouldn't be in the industry. They would close their shops. They would close their businesses. People who just love it are resilient enough, even when they are having losses, even if they are having problems, they are always ready to fight on because this is something that they care about. So that's what we care about, all the people who are still in and who are doing really good work, who are excited with a new work every time and new challenge every time. So we just have to have that heart and purity in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great segue. You mentioned, kind of how things have changed over time. We kind of talked about this at the top of the podcast. Like, how has the landscape for, creative consultancies, agencies, IT, how, especially those operating out of India, how has that changed since 2009? There's been a lot. So I'm just curious how you've navigated that change.
There has been lots of change. Earlier, it was, as I mentioned to you, with our generation that came up, was all hearts out. What were those times in 2009? YouTube was taking a bigger shift. Apple had launched iPhone 2 years ago, and all these Android devices were coming in, and the new world was coming up. It was like the whole complete internet and real-time changes world. You know, before that, you used to click on a button on a website, you used to wait, and then something used to change near you. It was like real-time changes. So real-time world was coming up, and we enjoyed that thing, you know, at that time. And in 4 years or 5 years, let's just say about 2013, 14, it was lots about IoT and sensors. The sensors would change the world, and sensors would navigate the world. Yeah, put lots of sensors in your devices and capture lots of data and build something and get to know what actually your business is doing or what your machine is doing and all these things. And now, you know, about 2018, 19, it was about how AI is coming up. We knew at that time that AI would come up, but unsure. And then came blockchain in 2020 in COVID times, and everybody was behind blockchain. I really like it, but I think, you know, with the use cases that blockchain had, we were like, then why is everyone so obsessed with blockchain? You cannot make normal websites or normal applications in blockchain. That's not the use case. So we didn't use blockchain much at that time. It only has to be dealt with smart cases. You know, there was NFT. Where is it now? It's nowhere. So it was one of those things, one of those fads that came and went away. But blockchain has really amazing use case, and if people make really good use of it, it's an amazing technology and it's an upcoming technology. People would use it more and more. But yes, with AI, it's completely game changer. Completely game changer. And you asked me that how the time has changed. It has changed a lot. In IT world, we always speak that 2 years and you are a fresher in the industry. So in just 2 years, everything changes and all your strategies would go haywire, and you would not be able to articulate on just one simple thing that, okay, you know, we were doing this, we just have to keep on doing this. That cannot happen. Technology changes very fast. You know, we are just waiting for quantum to come in. As soon as quantum plays its role, the whole world would change. The whole websites that are there, how we see them right now would change a lot because it can handle lots of power. So we would see 3D objects, and you know, we can change things just like in Minority Report, and we would be able to do lots of things. And we are just waiting for those times. But yes, and I'll tell you about the agencies. The agency world in India was very different. We were actually working for people, and we were their extended teams. We are still now. You know, that's the best way that, you know, if Paul, you have a company, you are working in UK, so you think that India has really good talent and I want to have an extended team there. So we were the extended teams and we really enjoyed it. But now, if you come to India, you'll see that we are at the forefront of it, because the kind of applications, the kind of moves in technology, especially in application world, like new business formation or new ideas world, which are completely akin to Indian mindset or Indian market. We are doing a lot of things there, and it's highly interesting market right now. It's just like how Chinese went on with manufacturing. You know, for many years they were making for other companies. When they started making for themselves, it had different use cases in China, and now the world is copying those use cases. So that's the thing with India. You know, the kind of applications you'll see here, the kind of user experience now you'll see in Indian applications, and the kind of problems that you'll see that we guys are solving, you would enjoy them a lot. And the future is not that far away when people would be copying from Indian companies and making the same kind of businesses in different countries, because that makes a huge sense. It's 1.5 billion people, huge market. So many entrepreneurs are coming up. They are putting in lots of efforts in building great things, and or at least they're trying to experiment with new things. If something succeeds, they're scaling it to a large extent, and they are making really, really good strides in this world. And I really enjoy this time that the Indian market is in. I work around the world. It's not just Indian market. Indian market might be like 10-15% of our clientele. It's US and Europe majorly. So we enjoy that. We enjoy it a lot. But there's lots of landscape in Indian market. Earlier, the companies like us were all about love and all. And as I mentioned, now the companies, as soon as they come, they want to. I like it at times, and at the same time, I do not like it much, that they want to scale up very fast. They say scale up or die. So no, it doesn't work like that. You know, you build something organically as well. There is another way to look at it as well. So Many IT companies go down the drain when they become completely blockchain companies, and blockchain is dead, and so the companies are dead as well. That happens. So with scale.
Yeah, it's easy to get pigeonholed and like sort of, go all in for one area, which is a great segue to like the next question, just in terms of like your ambition. So where do you want to take, I get asked this question all the time, what's your vision? Like where are you going to take the company? And like part of me is like, I just want to take it year by year and like just grow, gently but also, it helps to have a bigger vision. So what's your bigger vision for Illumins and also for the Bright Talks, podcast? Like what are you thinking of for the next year or two at least?
Yeah, so I'll speak about Illumins first. I think you want to go from 2025 to 2029, right? So I think this year is all about surviving in the industry or navigating through the times when they're quite tough, as you know that what's happening around the world. But I'll be realistic that, we're gonna take first 4 to 5 months, let's just say April to May, to getting really good projects, talking to lots of clients, talking to lots of enterprises, SaaS enterprises and all, and working along with them in making what they think is really, really beneficial for them. So 2025, after that, would be all about increasing like really good amount of work for us. And 2026, and at the end of 2025, I want to start making products. So I think we are at a path where we have made many companies and we have worked with clients and we know how to make a company and we know how to make really good business and we make them really, really big. So some of the companies we made became multimillionaires. They didn't have good presence before and they became huge, just like Casper is. And then at the same time, Swiggy, one of the companies in India which is in food delivery, it has like huge billions of dollars of base. And we were the ones who worked, who got our hands dirty building for them. So I think I'm gonna love building with other entrepreneurs, but I think we are at a place where we are gonna make products ourselves and we're gonna make them highly successful. So 2026, 2027 would be navigating in that world, where we're gonna make our products by sight and we're gonna make them highly successful. 28, 29, I think would be very fast for me to tell you that, what would
Sure.
happen, because I think industry would change at that time, quantum would come in,
Yeah.
but we're gonna grow those products and we're gonna do those things. So I
Yeah.
can tell you about 3 years that we're gonna do really, really great at that time.
Yeah, the move to kind of like, productization and it's interesting to see different agencies and consultancies take that and really understand, okay, we can turn this service that we're delivering into a product, even if it's productizing the service or an actual, product itself, be it software or, a platform or something like that. So that's really interesting. And we're thinking about the same things with that AI and kind of you mentioned quantum. That's a really interesting space as well. So
Well, especially if our products would fall in line with clients' requirements as well. So some of the products, we are thinking of building 3 products. We have made kind of user experiences and UIs. We have made kind of prototypes. And we're going to start making them after June or July. And that's what we are thinking, that we're going to come into market. We're going to grow organically for some time. And once we know that this is a really good market, we're gonna scale up just after that. So I will be looking at lots of investor friends of mine at that time, but we want to make things successful, and only after that we're gonna go deep into it.
nice.
So yeah.
That's great. Thank you for indulging us. Wanted to jump into our quick fire questions. These are sort of like fun, playful questions. We ask you to give just like a quick little response, the first thing that comes to mind, but it's a way for the audience to kind of get to know you better as a person and yeah, understand a bit more about you. First question, if you could found another tech startup, what would it be and why?
I think I would provide kind of plugins or support. If hypothetically if I'm not at the position I am, if I'm someone who is new coming to the industry, who has lesser resources, I would start making things for big players. Just for example, Figma is quite big. So I would make some really amazing plugins that would be of high value to developers. Many people make things for designers on Figma. I would think very differently and I would make things for developers because not many people understand. There might be one or two designers who are working on Figma design, but there are at least 7 to 8 developers who are taking hands off from that design and taking cues from it and building things. So developers have very less support on Figma. So I think there would be things like that. And looking at Webflow and other areas, I think I would navigate that place where I would start doing things for big organizations, people who have billions of dollars, people who have a huge clientele, and I do something small there.
Next question, what tech invention makes you the most excited?
I think quantum, as I
Quantum.
said.
Yeah, that's a good one. We haven't talked enough about quantum on this podcast. I want to get some quantum experts on here.
Yeah. AI is doing great. What would happen after AI is that our lives would become longer. If AI is going to solve lots of things, just that you saw recently, Russia has a cancer vaccine now. So you would love to know how it works. And this podcast, if I speak about it, it would take a lot of time. But go on and research how it works. How it takes antibodies from your tumor, and would know that. What the problem is and how the AI would solve that calculation. AI would calculate it, AI would solve that problem, and you inject it back in just 2 days, and the cancer would be gone. So I think AI would increase our lifespans and make us do things, but at the same time, until we are stupid or go into an accident or lose our
Yeah,
lives or something like
of course. Yeah, AI
that,
can't prevent that.
or maybe incapacitate ourselves or something like that. But our organic lives would start becoming better,
Yeah.
but you place it with quantum, things would happen in seconds.
Yeah,
So,
exponential.
yeah,
That's really
that
interesting.
with space research would become amazing with quantum. So we
Yeah.
might be able to reach like long away planets, or we might be able to do greater things with quantum. I think that's something that I'm highly interested in. I'm highly
Yeah,
interested.
that's super exciting. Opposite question, kind of. What tech invention makes you the most concerned these days?
I don't think it's invention, but I think it's social media. It concerns me. I think lots of youngsters are losing the way of their lives. Chinese TikTok, recently we were discussing that even today with my team, that Chinese TikTok for its youngsters is like a person who has won Maths Olympiad, or a kid who is doing great in science. And in US, there are toilet seat licking competitions. So I think people are going into the world that they should not go. I think parents should, I don't know how they would, but they should take control of social media. Australia has banned people under 16 years to come into social media. But I think social media is of huge concern to me. Especially you guys are in the West, I think West is being brainwashed by social media. And I think societies would falter if we do not control it. Our kids do not control it, teenagers, and at the same time, people who are adults as well, 25s and so. I think it's like, as good as you can call it, I think it has turned out to be a monster.
Yeah, I appreciate that you brought in the cultural aspect too, because I don't think we talk about that, like how, our cultures map on to how we use and consume, social media and a lot of this stuff. And I think we have to like really reconcile with that, like how different cultures are, dealing with how the impact that social media is having on them and why, so.
You can see what's happening in UK. We are hearing the news. I don't want to turn into a political podcast, but we can see how social media affects girls as well a lot, because they want to be known. They want to be in that zone where people are like validating them. I don't think girls should do that. They have independent personalities. They should be very strong in their personality. They should be very good in personalities. Yeah, I think it's kind of anti-feminism for me, because They have to understand that they are unique in their way and they are amazing in their way. But they want to be validated, so they try to become like others. They don't go into the path that they should have been. So I think that's just disturbing the cultures a lot. We might do better without social media.
Taking it back to the human side of things, like who's a literal human who has been important and integral to your career journey? Like maybe you want to shout out.
I think it's Sachin who is our CTO, and he takes care of operations as well. He is in Illumins from the day one, October 5th, 2009. He came to Illumins along with other team members who are here as well. And I think he handles lots of things, and he is my backbone. He gives me the confidence to move and navigate around things. He handles things quite well. So I think I would want to give a shout out to Sachin. He's a little human in our lives.
Nice, love that. And then last question, what's an inspirational quote or saying that has kind of stuck with you through your journey in tech?
India used to have school prayers. I don't know if it's in UK. We used to go out in the morning assembly and we used to do school prayers. So I was once invited to speak that quote. I must have been like 12 or so at that time. And that quote still resonates with me, that winners never quit. I think it's just that winners never quit. They always persevere. Even if they go to the last edge, they can come out from there. So in times like these, this is the most important quote. Winners never quit.
Yeah, I think that's really, I mean, one thing I'm now, sort of 5 years into running a business, but just how much of getting ahead in life is just persevering and just like sticking with something, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. And just, yeah, being, consistent, persistent, how much that just really makes a difference. It's so easy to like quit and leave and exit and things like that, but really sticking with it is, it's hard. It's the hardest thing sometimes. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little secret. There is nothing that is hard. The times would be great. You would get lots of work. You would be doing amazing things. And the times would go bad when there are problems. If it was not hard when you were doing great, it's not hard when you are not doing that great. That time would come back. You just have to keep on persevering. Winners should never quit.
Brilliant. I think it's a great place to end. Sanjit Thakkar, founder and CEO of Illumins, thank you so much for jumping on the pod today. It's been an awesome conversation. Wonderful to hear about your experience building what you've built for the past 15 years. Where can folks learn more about Illumins?
I think they should go to our website, illumins.com, ILLUMINZ.com, and they should see the things that we are doing and they'll enjoy the things.
Nice.
And yeah, let us be connected on LinkedIn. They can follow us on LinkedIn. They can see the kind of things that we are doing. Or maybe
Great.
Dribbble. They can see the user experiences.
That's great. Well, we're big fans of yours. We know you do great work. It was great being on your podcast. So glad we could do the swap. And yeah, we'll drop those links in the episode description. And then to our guests, want to ask you all to leave a review, give us a 5-star rating. It helps us get great guests like Sanjit Thakkar from Illumins. So thank you so much for your time, Sanjit.